There's a new program on NPR FM Berlin from veteran radio producer David Freudberg. The show is Humankind, and it features stories of remarkable people who are making a difference in society. Whether they're well-known figures or quiet heroes in their own community, they're forging the connections that bring people together. The creator and host, David Freudberg, spoke with me recently about Humankind, some of his favorite recent interviews, and how he got started in radio.
I was interested in figuring out ways to tell stories that would have a universal appeal, that would not only reach a broad audience of people, but also would reach into the universal part of every one of us. And it just occurred to me that we're really talking about humanity, and the obvious broad term summarizing that would be humankind. And also that it was a wide enough concept that we could encompass many different subjects in a given humankind episode. So I guess that in brief is how we ended up with the title.
Where did you grow up?
I have not yet grown up.
Where were you born?
I was born in Philadelphia and went into public radio as an intern in my junior year in high school, where I was attending an alternative public high school just outside of Philadelphia, and began my checkered career at what's now WHYY-FM, where at the ripe age of 16, they actually gave me my own show.
Did you grow up listening to public radio?
Well, ironically, I entered my work in public radio within months of when NPR went on the air. There was no public radio on a national scale until May of 1971. Mm-hmm. And it was that immediately following autumn when I arrived at WHYY. So everything that we now know as NPR and public radio in its national sense simply didn't exist until that year. But I had never heard of the idea of non-commercial radio until I happened to be researching a school paper at the library of a local college and saw a brochure describing this idea that there was a nightly 90-minute news magazine program with no commercials where topics were treated at some length and with some depth, and it just really intrigued me. And I decided to give it a listen, and within a few months, I was doing a show at that local station in Philadelphia.
So you've been in public radio for your entire career, as well as the entire career of National Public Radio, I guess.
Well, by I think NPR has been around, I guess, about 4 months longer than I have been in public radio.
So you've profiled a lot of people and spoken to a lot of people that maybe a lot of people have heard of or they've seen or they've read about, but then you also talk to a lot of people that a national audience might not be familiar with. And your stories, or a lot of the stories on Humankind, are so personal and intimate, and you really feel like you get to know the person by the end of the hour. So how do you forge a connection, or how do you try to forge a connection, a personal connection, between the listener and the person you're profiling with radio?
A connection between the listener and the person I'm profiling.
Yes.
I truly believe that there are qualities in all people that all people can relate to. Just very basic things. The fact that we're vulnerable, that we have needs, that we have strengths, that there's goodness inside of everybody, along with some other things. And that we're all capable of humor, we're all capable of feeling pain. And one has to try to get down to that and understand what somebody's going through so that the average listener can relate. My vision with the Humankind Project, which we've been doing since production began in 1997, has been to aim high rather than settle for the lowest common denominator, that there are wonderful capacities that we all have, the capacity to be charitable, the capacity to be forgiving, the capacity to take strife and turn it into peace, the capacity to be tolerant of people from backgrounds other than one's own, and to talk about what those are, how people experience them, why they yearn for them, blockages that they encounter, and to see how that happens in real life in the actual events of someone's daily activities. And that gives, I think, the meaning to humankind, and also in some ways it's drama, because it's very, very hard to practice those traits and those high ideals in our daily lives. It certainly is very hard for me. And I love hearing about how people try to do that and the difference that they try to make, a positive difference, and the ways in which they're trying to move our society forward.
Do you think there are any special ingredients that make a great story, or is it just a sense that the story needs to be told, or is it more intuitive, or are there specific things that you see in a story?
I just love people, and I love voices, and I love the many, many, many varieties, billions of varieties in which human voices come, and I think there truly is an interesting story represented by each of those voices. Also, of course, conflict is essential to drama. And one of the challenges that I have faced as a storyteller is because I'm very interested in people who are striving hard at the path of conflict resolution and peacemaking. God knows our world is filled with conflict that sometimes boils over into high conflict and can reach a level of violence. And I don't think we do enough as a society to develop ways to tamp that down, to prevent it, or to diffuse violent situations when they do erupt. And so I'm very interested in peacemakers, and one of the things I've struggled with is, if everybody's going around making peace, where's the drama in that? But the fact is, almost everybody who's interested in making peace comes to that interest for a reason, something in their own personal life that is driving them to try to achieve harmony. So I think those are some of the ingredients in a good story. Maybe I can be specific in a couple of areas of some of my favorite stories that we've told on humankind. Maddie Stepanek, who passed away a few years ago, I had the opportunity to interview, I think it was just before he turned 12. Now you might wonder, why was I interviewing an 11-year-old for a half hour on a national radio program? This happens to be an 11-year-old who, by the time I reached him, had penned no fewer than 2 New York Times bestsellers. So right then and there, we know he must be an extraordinary fellow. He was afflicted from birth with a form of muscular dystrophy that would almost surely claim his life in youth, and it did a couple years later. His mother had the same disorder. So did his 3 siblings, all of whom had died of it by the time I got to Maddie. And he had written these books of poetry that were so moving they literally would bring me to tears. And I couldn't help but want to go and meet this remarkable human being who had developed an extraordinarily positive attitude in spite of his physical discomfort. He had a breathing problem where he had to gasp for air several times per sentence, which is very audible in the program we did with Maddie. He nevertheless refused to let those things get him down, and he became a kind of hero to literally millions of people who appreciated not just the strength that he brought to his personal dilemmas, but his unflagging faith and optimism and just a goodness that was so obvious you could cut it with a knife when you hung out with this little guy. So that was a profoundly moving experience. His mom I also talked to that day. The father had left the family and the other siblings had all passed away. It was really poignant, and it had all of the components for a great episode of Humankind, because there was a real human being who was amazingly talented and articulate. He had made friends with Jimmy Carter. He appeared on many national TV shows. I actually found a recording of a talk he gave at the National Press Club, for God's sake. And it was just one of these really cool things that you sort of live to experience. And of course, it's so sad that he's passed on. And yet, it's hard to be deeply sad about Maddie because you know wherever he is, whatever he's doing, it's probably very positive.
Yeah, and I was wondering if there had been one particular story or documentary series that not only made great radio, but really hit you on a personal level. It kind of changed the way you thought about your perception or beliefs or something like that. And it sounds like maybe the story of Maddie was one of those.
Well, I'll tell you something that he said. I honestly can't recall if it was something he said to me while we were recording or before the mic went on. I think it was while. But he, at one point, just blurted out in various suggestions he had for how people might get along better in this world to allow someone else to get in front of you in line. And I thought, it's a very childlike perception of how to make peace. But how many times since then have I been in a line somewhere and some ornery character was elbowing their way in and I thought, you know what? It's okay. I don't have to get all bent out of shape by this. I can just let this person get in line or get in front of me while driving, and that's fine. And so there are, you know, millions of cute little stories like that. I think one of the most moving experiences I had was when I talked with a woman actually here in the Boston area whom we were interviewing for a documentary we called Barely Getting By. And it was about the economic downturn and how people are struggling. And she is working, or at least at that time was, at one of the most prestigious hospitals in the world, Massachusetts General Hospital, which is the largest teaching hospital of Harvard Medical School. And it's an enormous complex of buildings and clinics. And she was working in the blood lab. And I went to sort of subsidized housing where she resided, which she was very proud of because it was a beautiful, nice, modern kitchen and things were well kept up. And she had moved in there, I think, within the year. And she had told me that for 2 years prior to moving in, she had lived in a shelter while working at the hospital. She was a full-time employee in the blood lab of one of the most important healthcare hospitals, one of the most important healthcare clinics in the world, and she was living in a shelter while doing so. And that just astonished me. My jaw dropped, and it suddenly occurred to me, well, if her finances were such that she was living in a shelter while working there, and this was a program basically about the working poor, she was not a highly paid person, were there others? And she said, yes, there were other people currently working at the hospital who live in shelters. And that was such an eye-opener for me, that people may appear to be, you know, in very comfortable circumstances, but in reality they may really be struggling, and we don't really know what people are going through until we get to know them and listen to their story a little bit. And it just was kind of a reminder of the burdens that so many people carry. The population of the working poor in this country is vast and growing. And even though people work one, sometimes two jobs, maybe even more, they may really be struggling just to make ends meet, just to pay that month's rent. It was very helpful to meet her and hear her story.
I'm speaking with David Freudberg, host of Humankind.
I thought it might be interesting to chat briefly about some interviews I did for a documentary on comedians who happen to be people diagnosed with cancer. The question I wondered was, you know, can there be a role for humor in lifting somebody's spirits while they're suffering from a life-threatening illness like cancer? And it occurred to us, you know, why don't we find, because cancer is so rife, I'm sure we'll be able to, a number of comedians who are themselves cancer survivors and hear their take on it. And it was so interesting to do it, and it's a program that has drawn a tremendously popular response, I think in part because just about everybody nowadays either is a cancer survivor or knows somebody who has dealt with cancer. It's in almost everybody's family. It's really just rife. And there's got to be some way to be lighthearted around it, because if we just let ourselves get totally down in the dumps, you know, that can't really support the immune system and promote the healing process. And so it was kind of fun talking to people. I remember we went out to L.A. and we went down to New York City and elsewhere to talk to a number of people, very creative folks, who had the experience in one case on several occasions to meet with a physician and discover that they had been diagnosed with cancer at a level that could kill them. And boy, did it force these people to get down to basics and to reexamine their lives and to assess what really makes sense and what's most important, and sometimes decide certain things I have been chasing are unimportant and I won't pursue that anymore, and other things, you know, often relationships or some pursuit that they had been putting off for a long time assume greater significance in their lives. And, you know, all in the genre of people who were telling jokes and had, I remember one guy said he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he blurted out to his doctor, "Just my luck, I'll get the one that wasn't even named after the guy." Now, for someone dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, it may be that a joke is not appropriate at all times. But the ability to laugh, you know, even in our sorrow, can be very, very healing. And we even chase down various scientists who have studied the pretty amazing chemistry of the body, where hormones that are secreted when someone is laughing can play a role in healing our body. And so trying somehow to keep a sense of humor no matter what we're going through is very, very inspiring. And we've heard from a whole bunch of people in Humankind who were able to do that.
Humor is the best form of medicine sometimes.
It certainly helps.
Well, this kind of leads into my next question, which is, Humankind is now on NPR FM Berlin and NPR Worldwide, which means your new audience is listening from all over the world, and there's a wide array of cultural backgrounds and experiences and so on. What do you think an international audience would take from this show?
Well, it's really trying to examine universal themes. I have seen the absolute worst of every race and religion and nationality on the planet, and I have also seen people from all those groups who represent the highest and most generous and kindest and most intelligent. And I think that we all can relate to basic attempts to be more compassionate, to promote treating others as we would like to be treated, to understand patience in the face of adversity, to be willing to break down barriers that we might have grown up with in order to forge new friendships and connections. These really are universal patterns that apply to people listening anywhere on the planet.
That was David Freudberg, the host of Humankind. For more information about the show, go to humankindmedia.org. You can hear Humankind Sunday mornings at 9 on NPR FM Berlin 104.1.